The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is brought to you by InsureMyTrip.com. Travel insurance done right from the people who know travel insurance. Find out more at InsureMyTrip.com.
Broadcasting from the InsureMyTrip.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? I'm Doug Parker. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on Cruise Radio today. I know you have so many choices, and it means a lot that you are here. On this show, we're going to check out cruise ship dining. Yeah, talk about freestyle dining, the main dining room, specialty restaurants, all things dining this episode of Cruise Radio. Also, we'll find out what the folks over at American Cruise Lines are up to. They have a couple of new paddle wheelers on the works, so we'll check out with them a little bit later on in the program. But first, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug. Doing great. Yourself?
Yeah, man. Good. Let's get right to it. Royal Caribbean pulling out of New Orleans. What's up with this?
Well, it's not a surprise, but understand, I guess the best way to understand this is musical chairs. Royal Caribbean was setting their 2015-2016 deployments, and unfortunately, when the music stopped, there wasn't enough ships to continue to base one seasonally with Explorer of the Seas heading out to Australia. It's just unfortunate, but I could certainly tell you all of the cruise lines, especially Royal Caribbean, have an excellent relationship with New Orleans. New Orleans is a great city from which to sail from. It's been very successful, especially for Carnival, that has 3 year-round ships based there for the first time ever. And it looks like Serenade of the Seas is going to be taking over Legend of the Seas schedule in Europe for 2015. And then it will return and begin to do 10 and 11 night sailings out of Florida.
So yeah, definitely musical chairs there. Next talking point, CDC releases a statement saying that norovirus is more of a threat in restaurants, not on cruise ships. What's up with this?
Well, I'd say no duh. This is something that I take the media to task over because they make such a big deal because a cruise ship might have 10, 20, 30, 100, couple hundred people that are sick, but it occurs less than 7,000th of 1% here in the United States alone. Mm-hmm. It's significant. It's not even 0.1% occurring on board cruise ships. And also it's important to note that, never once has any cruise ship been cited as being the source of the norovirus. It's other passengers bringing it on. The cruise lines really do collectively do a fantastic job to keep the ships free and clear. But I think the CDC was just getting a lot of questions from the media and they said, enough, let's go ahead and put something out there to once and for all put it to sleep that norovirus is not that big a deal.
Yeah, I got norovirus from a restaurant in January here in Florida, and it was not pretty at all.
It's unfortunate it does happen, but keep in mind, you won't see the first symptoms for about 33 hours on average.
Yeah, totally. Regal Princess Cruises' new cruise ship out and about. What has the response been?
Well, it's been very good. It's doing very well on its Mediterranean sailings. I've known a couple of people that have gone on. They were on Royal Princess, and they've liked it. The elevators are working significantly better. The open promenade and having the aft pool has really made a difference in their experience. It's the love boat.
Yeah, there you go. Did you see this story come up about on the inaugural sailing, they were charging an automated gratuity for room service? Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that.
I guess the customers or passengers raised a fuss and they took it off. So here we go for the folks out there into the Game of Thrones. A new Game of Thrones shore excursion offered by Holland America in Ireland. Tell us about this.
Well, they've come up with a tour that they're going to take people to Castle Ward, which is what people will know as Winterfell. They'll go to Audrey Castle, which has been the backdrop of many scenes of Robb Stark's camp. And, a lot of the fans will be able to see the special effects. They'll show them costuming, test their knowledge of the show with trivia, and allow them to try their hand at the archery skills. Hmm. So, you could do the Game of Thrones, or maybe that'll take you back to your Robin Hood days. But you'll have a photo opportunity, really kind of allowing people to get involved and further immerse themselves in the Game of Thrones show.
I haven't, this is probably one of the first shore excursions that I've actually heard of that has brought passengers to a set of a movie. Have you heard of any others like this?
Well, I'm sure there have over the years, but I don't think anything's been such a big deal. It's nice that they're able to do this for their passengers because, you know, the show's very popular. And it'll be a nice opportunity for fans of the show to be able to see firsthand where the shows are being set.
Well, and on the subject of Holland America, it looks like the Veendam will be receiving some upgrades pretty soon.
Yeah, similar to some of the other ships, they're going to be adding lanais and bars. So the promenade deck, they'll turn some of those cabins into lanais, which essentially allows, you know, the passengers to have a little sitting area right outside the room versus just having a picture window. Great ship, and it's a great way for Holland America to continue to keep their ships current.
Is the Veendam one of their smaller ships?
It is one of the smaller ships.
And this is I found this rather comical, but CLIA, the Cruise Line Association over in Australia, they made a pretty bold statement recently, didn't they?
Well, they did. It's been it was picked up in the Australian press today, where they're claiming that the cruise market, which is doing very, very, very well, has surpassed the United States in penetration per capita for 2013. That's kind of like saying that, you know what, I'm running last in a race, and I think everybody should win an award. I mean, you know, the United States has more than 11 million people going on a cruise annually. Australia just reached, according to CLIA, 833,000 passengers. Not that big a deal, but it's showing significant growth. And they're projected to hit the 1 million mark, essentially, possibly by 2015. You know, we see significant numbers of additional ships going out to the market, which is terrific. You know, the passengers out there are really enjoying the cruises. The cruise lines are, on the other side, getting a little frustrated with the poor port facilities, the high cost of doing business out there, and the number of ports that they're having to tender. So, you know, there could be some rough waters ahead for the industry out there. But the nice thing is that the Australians are continuing to respond in strong numbers to cruising. You know, you realize it is still the best vacation out there. And, you know, there's not much to do within a couple hours of Australia. So it's nice to be able to, you know, take a cruise and also visit the Southeast, you know, the Polynesian Islands, as well as New Zealand.
Now, Carnival has Carnival Spirit out there year round, but Carnival Legend will only be out there, what, just for part of the year?
It'll be seasonal, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
A lot of the ships are just seasonal, but it's growing tremendously well. It's got very strong you know, possibilities going forward. But, you know, kind of like Mexico, you need to be able to develop more ports and continue to put you know, better ships in the market to keep you know, the experience fresh.
I got a listener email here, Stuart, asking any recommendations for anything to do in Grand Turk. I don't. It's a Carnival developed cruise port. It's a salt mine. The NASA thing is there, but other than that, I can't really think of anything else. Can you?
Well, they do have a nice beach,
right?
And it's a nice day to, you know, spend on the ship. There's really not much else. There's really not much else. It is a beautiful beach. I mean, you know, you just get right off the pier, and the beach is right there, and you can go swimming. There are some of the you know, traditional shops that you find in every port, but it's just not. You get off the ship, it's a nice beach day. It's very convenient. You don't have to take a cab to the beach. It's right there, and it's easy access back to the ship.
Yeah, I have to say, like, I've been there a couple of times, and it's really like, I'm sure there's some nice scuba diving around there, but when you ride through the island like in a taxi cab, you blink and you're past downtown, and then it's nothing but salt mines everywhere, like just nothing to do.
Right.
Yeah.
But the port area is nice. Like the beach really is nice. The water is very clear, aqua blue, and you know, it does provide a nice day at the beach.
There you go. You can find him at cruiseguy.com. Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Doug.
How many times have you said, "That'll never happen to us"? Vacations are a big investment with both time and money, and they should be protected. For over a decade, InsureMyTrip.com has been the online travel insurance leader, offering the best plans from the most trusted providers. Our licensed and award-winning customer service team makes sure you have the right coverage for your travel. To find out why over 98% of travelers would recommend InsureMyTrip, visit InsureMyTrip.com.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now. 6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Joining us this evening on Cruise Radio is Director of Sales for American Cruise Lines, Susan Schultz. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Doug. How are you? Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're up there in, is it Connecticut?
In Connecticut, yes.
Has spring sprung yet?
It is so trying to, but unfortunately, it's not there yet. But I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. No snow on the ground, so that's all good news.
We're going to chat a little bit about American Cruise Lines. So I guess let's start off for our audience who isn't familiar with American Cruise Lines, talk to us about the cruise line.
We actually offer 35 different itineraries here in the United States, coast to coast. I think what a lot of people don't realize is that there's such great opportunity for cruising right here in their own backyard, and that's exactly what we offer.
And we should probably say these aren't like jumbo cruise ships. These are smaller, intimate ships.
Absolutely. Our largest, if you want to say, holds only 150 passengers. So you can just imagine the personalization that every one of our cruises do offer our passengers.
And as far as your audience who's traveling on your cruises, I know in 2014, we're seeing this huge leap in multi-generational travel. Are you getting that over at American Cruise Lines?
We definitely are. People are finally hearing about us, which is great. And what we find is that a lot of our passengers, they're a little, more like 55 on up. However, what they're doing is they're celebrating a milestone, a birthday or an anniversary. And so they're inviting their children as well as their children's children. And they come on board. And what's really exciting about our product is that we offer such a variety and we can meet the demands, if you want to say, for that different age level, because we only cruise about 20 to 30% of the time. We're actually in the different ports of call, such as Newport, Black Island, Martha's Vineyard, or anywhere along the East Coast, as well as the Mississippi River and out in the Northwest.
Speaking on the Mississippi River for a second, because I've cruised a lot in Alaska, in Mexico, and then on Canada, the Caribbean. But it seems like when you cruise up the Mississippi River, it really brings cruising full circle.
It does. It really does. I was born and raised on the Ohio River, so I'm very familiar with the rivers. And it is. It does bring you back a lot. And it's nice to be able to go on an authentic paddlewheeler as well. It really is enlightening. It truly is.
And I mean, it's not just a paddlewheeler, because these paddlewheel boats, these ships are actually docking right in the middle of town. Am I correct? Where you're not having to take a transfer to go into downtown, because you're basically stepping off the ship and you're right there.
You are correct. Majority of the ports that we go to, we dock right into the heart of the town. And we never overwhelm our ports of call, which is excellent. So our passengers are greeted with the regional. They get to really understand that particular area in that region, because the people that live in that town love us, absolutely love our passengers. And, they can walk into the little quaint towns and shop and get to know the different areas. So they do. They can go on and off as they please on any of our ships. And it's kind of funny, those that are out there right now that actually have cruised the larger ships, it really is a different experience when you come on board a small ship cruising, especially with American Cruise Lines.
Going back to regional for a second, you have this program called Cruise Local, Eat Local. Talk to us about that.
Well, we're really excited about introducing this, and we feel like it's our duty in order to help the ecosystems of the regions that we actually visit. So what we do is we actually have a purchasing program that allows us to buy the freshest ingredients for our clients, our passengers that are on board our vessels. And I think this is both beneficial to our passengers as well as our ports of call, and they so appreciate us buying locally.
Well, how different is the experience, Susan, between cruising in the Northwest and up the Mississippi River?
Totally different.
Yeah.
That's what people always ask me, what is your most favorite cruise? I can't answer that. Mm-hmm. They're all so different. Can you imagine doing Alaska Alaska on a small ship cruising, only 100 passengers.
Yeah.
And also doing the historic South from Charleston to South Carolina to Florida. Totally different types of itineraries.
I thought it was just so cool because I sailed on the Queen of the Mississippi last October from St. Louis, and it ended up in, I think it was Minneapolis. And, you know, I met some of the coolest people, like people like retired executives from NBC, like just all, you never know who you're going to meet on there. And you're right about it. It's so intimate because there's one seating and there's one dining time, but you have a chance to meet basically the whole ship during your week voyage.
It's unique.
Yeah, it definitely is. Anything new on the horizon for American Cruise Lines?
Absolutely. We're doing so well that we have four new vessels that we've just announced. The first two will be brand new paddle wheelers. One will definitely be going on the Mississippi, which will offer some more different. There's a lot of contributaries, a lot of different rivers on that go off the Mississippi that we're able to. We're probably going to be announcing some new itineraries for that area, which is exciting for our passengers. And then the second vessel that will be coming out will also do the Pacific Northwest, which will be doing the Columbian Snake Rivers. The other two, we have not announced yet.
We've been speaking with Susan Schultz. She's the director of sales with American Cruise Lines. Susan, thank you so much for hanging out with us this evening on Cruise Radio.
Oh, Doug, thank you very much for asking me.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel, or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
Follow me.
Cruise ship dining has exploded over the past, I guess you could say probably the past decade. And joining us to talk about cruise ship dining tonight is Jason Leppard of PopularCruising.com. What's up, Jason?
Hey, good to be here, my friend.
Yeah, so cruise ship dining has done a complete shift over the past, we'll just say 10 to 15 years, where people thought of cruise ship dining as just this organized thing where there's only two dining times. You can go at 6 o'clock or 8:30, but now it's just so far beyond that. In your opinion, Jason, how has cruise ship dining evolved over the years?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it used to be, you know, you walked onto a cruise ship and you had your main dining room with your two set dinner times and maybe a Lido buffet for breakfast and lunch self-serve beyond that, and that was it. But nowadays, man, it's all about choice. If you're not a ship that has at least two specialty restaurants on board, you're not going to make it.
Oh, you're not on the right ship.
Exactly, right. So now, I mean, it's not just one restaurant. It's, you know, upwards of 10 to 20 restaurants. It's incredible.
Well, and Jason, you were talking about choices. So break down those choices, and what kind of dining options would we find or will we find on modern-day cruise ships?
Yeah, I mean, what you have on Norwegian Cruise Line is what they introduced as their freestyle dining, and that's kind of become the model, I think, for other cruise lines to emulate, because even Royal Caribbean now has their dynamic dining that's going to be coming out on the Quantum of this season. What these really mean is that you have so many restaurants on board, and it's all about choice, and it's not just, you know, redundant choices either. You have, you know, Asian, Italian, Mexican, what have you, all these places you can go to. And, you know, specialty dining these days usually means that it costs something more. It's not included in the fare. But, you know, you really kind of owe it to yourself to try out these places as much as it fits in within your budget, because, you know, you're on vacation and you got to try it all. It's just a great experience.
And, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, specialty dining, yeah, it's going to cost $35, $40 per person, $12, whatever. I mean, it all varies across the different cruise lines and the fleets. But there's also specialty restaurants out there that don't cost you a dime and that are included in your price.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the Norwegian has some that are included. Like on the Norwegian Breakaway, you can have a Sheehan Pub. Mm-hmm. That's open 24 hours a day. You can go there and just grab like a sandwich or something like that if you want. And that's a great option. You know, places have 24-hour room service on board, different things like that. And granted, you know, I mean, the range of prices can go anywhere from like $10 a person to $75 a person, depending on how fancy it gets. But, you know, there's a whole range of options for everybody to try.
Yeah, and moving beyond Norwegian, like Carnival has Guy Fieri's burger joint on there. That doesn't cost a dime. And then you would know more about this than me, Jason, but Princess has, is it the International Cafe that's free and has all kinds of like sandwiches and soups and everything?
Yeah, they have that in the Piazza area, atrium on board. So that's really cool. And even they have their pizzeria in the atrium now. So basically, wherever you go on board, you smell pizza, which is always enticing.
Yeah, totally. So the big question is that I get is how do we make the most out of our cruise ship dining experience? If someone asked you that, like I am, how would you answer it? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think nowadays it does involve a little bit more planning than it used to. Before, it could be a little bit more relaxing. You just come on board and, you know, your table your table number is going to be at 6 o'clock. You go there and you have your dinner. But nowadays it's a little bit more active. You have to kind of participate a little bit more and say, you know, what restaurant you want to go to from each night. But that's kind of part of the fun too. So I think just be active about it, plan ahead of time, and just make sure that you have the money for it and go for it.
Talking about planning ahead of time, a lot of restaurants now and specialty venues on cruise ships, you can actually book the experience and book the dining during the booking process.
Exactly. Yeah, you can go online and take care of all that ahead of time. And, you know, even on some of the cruises, you have your apps now you can use and book there anywhere you are on board. So it's amazing.
And also, if you're making your way, like we were talking about how, you know, cruise ship dining used to be so regimented. But yeah, there is still on some cruise lines. I think Norwegian did away with it. Did Norwegian do away with the two set dining times? Is it all
they
freestyle?
They have a traditional set dining.
Yeah, oh, they do? Okay.
As an option, they do still have it, yeah. But
gotcha.
So really, I mean, literally anybody who wants to come on board, if you have a preference, it's there for you.
Right. And then taking that preference a step further, if you didn't want to eat at 6 or 8:15 or whatever the standard dining times are, a lot of the cruise lines have like anytime dining or my choice dining where you can kind of just roll into the cruise ship dining room whenever you want between 6 and 10 o'clock and they'll serve you.
Exactly. And that's kind of more akin to a restaurant on land, and that you'd show up and you might have to wait maybe up to 15 minutes to get a table. But that's a great option as well.
We've been talking with Jason Leppard from the Popular Cruising podcast and popularcruising.com. And he also just launched, what was it called? CruiseNav.com. Talk to us about that, Jason. What is CruiseNav?
The idea is that there's so many different freelance journalists out there that it's kind of hard to find them individually. But if you can go to a location that they're all gathered together as a community and discover them there, that's sort of the idea of my website. And that's, like I said, CruiseNav.com. And that's a place where you can see cruise reviews and get tips and news from a whole bunch of different sources in one location.
And also you have the Popular Cruising podcast. Tell us about that for a second.
Yeah, so that's meant to be sort of a visual alternative to audio podcasts that you can kind of get a sense for what it looks like to be on board and do so quickly in about 5 to 10 minutes, episodic content on that, and do different tours and reviews of ships and sort of talk about the experience.
Jason, my friend, it's always a pleasure talking to you and look forward to seeing you soon.
Likewise.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Cruise Radio. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day, because I realize you have so many options out there, so it means so much. If you want to check out our articles, cruiseradio.net, they're all there. Also, Facebook, facebook.com/cruiseradio. Broadcasting from the InsureMyTrip.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Doug Parker, and this is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the InsureMyTrip.com studios. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
The preceding Cruise Addicts talk show was a production of Cruise Radio.